Hi, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Father Knows Something. First of all, we got Lucy. Now, Lucy, she hails from the land of the Brickyard. Everyone knows that, you know, come Memorial Day weekend, we head to the Brickyard. Now the Brickyard is actually in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Now, outside Indianapolis, we have the Indy 500. However, a little further south from Indy, off the freeway, I think it's off 65, mm-hmm. there is a little town where they have a college. Mm-hmm. And that college is very famous for what they call the Little 500. And if anyone has seen the movie Breaking Away, which I had because I'm 128 years old, it was really great that Lucy brought it up and reminded me, well, I kind of was taking quotes off the movie, mm-hmm. but that she was very familiar with the Little 500. In fact, her dad actually rode in the 500.
Oh, that's right.
Now, we also, as I meet these people that Morgan brings into the studio, I learned that she has a good friend. And her name is?
Megan.
And Megan, I want to thank you for watching the show. This is a call out to you, and we appreciate, and I hope that you enjoy it. So that's what I got.
I do want to give a shout out to Marcy.
Oh, yes.
Marcy sent the Father Knows Something crew an amazing candle. She's got a small business called Gentle Glow. And she sent the birch smell. Mm. I almost said flavor. I call candles flavors. But it is like the most refreshing, clean. I love it. And this is one of the few that was addressed to the Father Knows Something crew. Now, usually it's two hot takes in the P.O. box.
Now,
so.
Now there was something else that it brought to this candle. Put the candle out a second behind your computer screen. There's a reason why.
Here you go.
So, Marcy, you mentioned that you lost your mom. And in my culture, once a year on the anniversary that we have lost our family, we always illuminate light, a candle, the flame to say about their, to honor their spirit, their soul that flies around, that we recognize that they are still around in our lives and in our heart. So I asked Morgan, I said, I wonder how long that candle burns. And Morgan said, about 16 hours, just to let you know, I would love to know how long it burns, because in our culture, we burn a candle from sundown and it should extinguish about 24 hours later at sundown. Mm. And what a wonderful thing, because your candles are beautiful and have a wonderful fragrance. And I have never seen a memorial candle that has a fragrance. Mm. It's a unique thing.
Yeah.
So we love the smell. I wanted you to know about it.
And it's a single wick. I mean, it could be 24 hours. It could even be 32. You never know.
I don't know how she does it, but it's a perfect size. It's wonderful. And it's an interesting niche market. I know that my business is all about working in memorial and remembering our loved ones. So on that note, thanks so much for doing that and bringing it to our attention and being a part of our family.
Yes. That all being said, we are doing a back to school theme today. Hence why we have Lucy.
She's going back to school.
Our amazing intern joining. Lucy's going to be a senior in college. Mm-hmm. And so she's like gone through a lot of this more recently than we have. Yeah, you never did. You did associates though. You did like a little bit.
I did. Well, I like to always say I'm so old. They didn't have colleges back in that day.
Yeah, exactly.
So back in the day when we walked around with a big stick and we wore like, you know, animal skin, like kind of like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, something like that. So we're doing back to school. You ready?
I am so ready.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's get into it. Story number one.
Okay.
Hi, Jerry, Morgan, and Lucy. I love both Two Hot Takes and Father Knows Something. These podcasts have seriously helped me get through my first year of grad school. I love to listen to the episodes whenever I feel a bit lonely or isolated. So thank you for making such wonderful shows. As I mentioned, I, 21 female, am now a second year grad student, and I'm seeking some advice on how to deal with extreme burnout and exhaustion. This past summer quarter really pushed me to my limits mentally and emotionally. Disorganized program, bad communication between faculty and students, and extremely rushed deadlines. So when I arrived home in June to start my fieldwork, I found out that I ran out of all of motivation. I had planned to give myself a week off from anything school-related, but that quickly became 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, and now I'm desperately trying to play catch-up so that I can save my fieldwork and still be able to graduate next June with a completed thesis. I've never been a procrastinator, and I'm usually a top student, but now I get so easily overwhelmed and exhausted anytime I open my laptop. Additionally, I've been feeling an immense guilt and shame as a result, because I know that my professors and advisors would be extremely disappointed in me if they knew how behind I was, which just builds on the anxiety, stress, and exhaustion that I'm already struggling to deal with. I feel trapped in my program, and dropping out really isn't an option because of housing leases as well as financial contributions by my family. And I don't think I could deal with letting myself down if I quit. Part of me is trying to believe that I can shake these feelings off, pick myself back up, and just finish my last year of education. The other part of me is just so full of anxiety, guilt, shame, exhaustion, and disappointment. And I feel like I'm drowning and will inevitably sink. A few years ago, I remember some of my friends saying that they thought I was going to completely burn out one day if I continued to push myself the way that I was. I guess I'm scared that they were right and that I have finally burnt out past the point of repair. I'm wondering if you guys have ever been in a similar situation and what you did. Do you guys have any advice on what I could try in order to get myself out of this space that I'm currently in? Any thoughts or advice would be highly appreciated.
Well, you're our guest.
I am. Honestly, like, first of all, everything she's going through, every single college student has gone through and probably thinks about 50,000 times a day. I mean, burnout is probably the hardest thing that comes along with college.
How did you deal with it?
I'm still trying to deal with it now. I mean, burnout comes in waves, but I noticed that taking a lot of time for yourself wherever you can is nice. I like to kind of do the method where you power through for an hour or two and then give yourself an hour or two to take some time. There's a lot of pressure that comes along with being in college when it comes to, you know, being a good student and joining extracurriculars and comparing yourself to other students and everything like that. So if burnout from classes alone wasn't a lot, then pressure coming along with that is equally as hard.
So do you have to get away from thinking about everybody else and just focus on just the relaxation and just going back to your project and not worry about all the other facets that come into this, you know, profile, for lack of a better description?
Yeah, I mean, with things like LinkedIn lately, mm-hmm. every time I scroll, somebody has a new accomplishment. Someone mm-hmm. has a new job. Someone has a new internship. Somebody my age is suddenly the most popular person in the world. And I have no idea how I could ever compete with that. So I think taking a step back and realizing how far you've come. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do they say? They're in grad school.
Their second year grad school.
That's no small feat. I could never even imagine going to grad school. That's a huge deal. And burnout is completely understandable.
Now, you go through burnout mm-hmm. quite a bit. I mean, you work around the clock.
And I do.
I'm going to give you an idea of Morgan's schedule. I mean, because I live this thing. You know, she might wake up at 10 o'clock or maybe surface around 11, but she actually works till 4 a.m. without any problem, consistently.
Yeah, it's not the greatest.
And it can become monotony. I mean, she's got to, the recording stuff that we do is easy because we're relaxed and we're talking and we're socializing. But when you sit at a computer screen and you're editing and you're going through all the other business sides that go to your projects, how do you deal with it?
Well, I'm going to put myself back in grad school for a second before I talk podcast because I'm still, you know, struggling with that. But I feel like for grad school, because that is where she's at, I think there's a little bit in the additional info I want to talk about before I get into it. But she goes, I started going to college when I was 16 through dual enrollment with my high school. I did the same thing.
I did it too.
And I haven't taken any breaks or gaps between my degrees. I currently have my associate and bachelor's degree. I've struggled with burnout before, but never to this degree. And I just can't seem to get a handle on it. Additionally, while I definitely struggle with feeling anxiety and depression, I do not have any diagnoses related to mental health. So for me, I did the same thing. I started going to college my junior year of high school. I was able to graduate college a year early. I then went to grad school with only a 1 year gap in between. And I feel like for me, I was always under so much pressure to be this high achieving, overachiever, perfect student. You know, when you start applying for jobs after a grad program, no one gives a shit about your GPA. Just pass. You just need C's to pass. You'll have a master's. You don't list your GPA. No jobs care about your GPA. It doesn't matter. And I think when you're so used to this overachieving, like all you can do is be type A and perfectionist and all this, you got to let it go. You got to let it go because it doesn't matter. Get your degree. Just get the degree and then go travel, take some time off, refresh. It'll be there. If you have to take board exams, they'll be there. I mean, I had to wait 3 months before I took my boards because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm a little different because I didn't really go through the college thing for my getting burned out. I've always been a workaholic. I started working at the age of 17 and really cranked it out that way. What I really do find that when I'm getting burnt out, I find a happy place.
Yeah.
And my happy place is the hangar. And I'll go to the hangar and I may not even work on the plane. I may just sit there and just bullshit with my friends or something just to recoup myself. I also find that doing exercise, getting on a bike and just taking time with nobody just to go take a ride and just give my time, my brain time to dump everything and recharge, reboot itself. And you think a lot when you're doing that. That's all you can do is think and process. And when I come back, I have the answer to a lot of the problems and the things I was struggling with. And that's how I do it. So it's not that I go shopping. That's far from it. I really take time to just be productive in my own little world in a totally different way than what I was really doing.
Yeah. And I think that is really, really important. But I think kind of reframing things, like one, yes, you need to practice self-care. That is so important.
Sleep.
The sleep,
yes.
Positive sleep. Coping strategies. I mean, there's so many things in that regard. But you can have all the coping, you know, positive self-care things in the world. But if you don't start reframing where your problem is really coming from and that burnout, where it's really coming from, it's just going to be this vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. So it's really coming to terms with, it's okay if things aren't perfect. It's okay if you're a little behind. Your professors are going to understand and just communicate. You know, I've been dealing with some burnout. Do you have any advice for the burnout? It's okay to be open with your advisors and your mentors because they themselves have also been there. And you are in a master's degree program. It's okay if you, you know, delay 3 months, depending on the program. They have like various cohorts that are mm-hmm. at different times. You know, there might be options. But I think if you just reframe things like, hey, it doesn't need to be perfect. It just has to get done. Just get it done. Don't perfectionize. It doesn't have to be at this crazy level.
Some people are wired that way though.
But she's not able to maintain that. And it's very clear she's struggling because of it. And I myself do that with the podcast where I have literally recorded a new episode on Wednesday and edited it until, you know, 4 a.m. I started at midnight, edited until 4 a.m. because I felt the episode I had ready wasn't good enough. It doesn't have to be perfect. Nothing, mm-hmm. nothing is ever going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. So just get it done. You're right there at the finish line and you know what you're doing. You're going to be good at your job. Just because you didn't get an A on a paper doesn't mean you're going to be a less qualified mm-hmm. therapist or practitioner or whatever your master's degree is in. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be in the same boat as people that killed themselves and got a 4.0 and then hate themselves when they're done. Mm-hmm. Don't hate yourself. Focus on you. Have some fun. Find a self-care tactic. Get the work done, but don't kill yourself over it.
And I really do find solutions and relaxation in my final minutes of sleep, because that's typically when I find I see the answer to what I was looking for. And mm-hmm. it's when I sleep and when I dream.
Yeah.
It comes to me.
Yeah. There's.
But you got to relax. You got to let it happen.
Mm-hmm. And in this person's case, it seems like their friends are completely behind them, saying that they are pushing themselves too hard.
Yeah.
And my mom always tells me, she's like, sometimes the thought of getting something done is worse than like actually going through the process of getting it done.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Power through. Nobody is denying that this is difficult. Burnout is a really real thing, but
it sucks.
You've come this far. Like you said, get your degree. You don't need to get a 4.0 in the degree. Just get it. And then take time for yourself. Like you said, you don't need to enter the work world ASAP.
No. And I think you make a great point because I really struggle with productive procrastination. And that's kind of what you said reminds me of, where it's like, I know I have all this schoolwork and I'm going to put it off because it's like cleaning, right? Where you think about cleaning and you dread it and then you do it and it actually takes you 10 minutes or whatever right. It is. It's, you'll do a million other things before you just do that one simple task you're dreading. Mm-hmm. And it's productive. A lot of what you're mm-hmm. doing is still productive. Mm-hmm. It's that productive procrastination. And make a list. I think if you break it down and say, here is everything I need to get done this week right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And if you want to just do one little bite-sized task to feel productive, mm-hmm. go do one of those, but then get back to your schoolwork. And then if you need a break and you still feel like you need to be doing something, go, you know, put the dishes away from the dishwasher or maybe mm-hmm. do a load of laundry. It's productive. You're accomplishing something. It's a thing off your list that you can visibly see, physically check off, but you're not self-sabotaging so much to where you're completely putting off school. Yeah. Bite size. I mean, my capstone for my doctorate degree was a 16-week capstone. I was preparing research. I was conducting research. I was creating a program to address mental health in the acute care setting. I wouldn't have been able to do all that in just 3 weeks at the end. Just bite size. Just little bite size. Doesn't mm-hmm. have to be perfect. Just bite size. That's it.
Well, there you are. So we hope that helps. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of write-ins on this one that will, give you suggestions.
We all struggle with burnout. It's real.
Okay.
Number two. My boyfriend, 21, and I, 20 female, have been dating for 2 years. Our relationship has been very stable, and I have a lot of faith that we'll remain steady as we work great together. The issue is that he is in a really hard place in life. He couldn't get a loan for college this year, so now he will be a semester behind and not graduate in the spring. He has hardly any money saved up since his family doesn't support him well, and he uses his paychecks to pay for most things. And he just seems very confused on his place in life. I feel like a lot of my friends think I could do better off with someone that knew what they wanted in life. I start my student teaching next fall and have big plans, while he seems just stuck right now. That doesn't bother me at all. I think he will figure it out in time. My family loves him, but always makes comments on what he's doing with his life and how will we be in the future. It just leads me to feeling like our relationship is doubted by a lot of people and people don't trust my judgment. I don't know what to do in this situation, as I don't want to stay with someone who doesn't have a plan in mind, but I also love him more than anything and feel confident that he'll figure things out in time. How do I manage this lack of trust from my family and friends? I really love him, but I also don't have much experience under my belt with relationships, so it makes me unsure how to manage things at this time. Thank you, Jerry. I really need some advice.
Well, I will tell you, I'm gonna run with this one.
You go for it.
Okay. You know, nobody has it figured out when they're first. Some people do. The rare, you know, 1/10 of, I mean, the hair size percentage of our world figure it out before they're out of the gate. Nobody does, basically. And you see something in this guy that you know that something will happen, that he will do some magic. And that's really what happens when you get as a couple together and you're going through life. Sometimes magic just happens and you guys find your niche. You find that something that only you guys are good at. And before you know it, there's a success. Who would ever have imagined 2 years ago where you would be today?
Not me.
No one. I mean, she had a doctorate. I mean, coming up in front of her, and everyone knew that she'd make a living and we would, but then all of a sudden you get a blessing and it happens. So don't let everyone else doubt with, you know, what the possibilities are for him. I'm glad that you love him, and I'm glad that you have a relationship, that you are supportive of one another. And that's the most important thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of at this age.
I am.
Yeah.
I think it's very unrealistic, like you said, to know what you want to do for the rest of your life at the age you enter college. I mean, think about it. It's the first time you've ever lived on your own and ever kind of thought for yourself and made decisions for yourself. And now you have to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. I mean, it's why so many people, I think it's the majority of people end up switching their majors in college because they're just trying to figure out what to do. And for her sake, like, she knows how important education is. And I know that she, I'm sure, is honing in and telling him how important education is. But I feel for him. I mean, college loan, if you didn't get a loan for college, you wouldn't be able to go to college.
No.
I mean, I'm so lucky. I've had a really great support system throughout who have helped me with stuff like that. But if I had to do it all on my own, I don't know if I would even go to college in the first place. So I think him being confused isn't something you should worry about right now while in college. Like I said, he might have a plan that's coming together, but he doesn't need to have a set plan. And with that, the pressure that comes from your friends and family, remember that your friends and family are always looking in the relationship from the outside. And you should listen to them because sometimes you have the like love goggles on and everything.
For sure.
But always remember that it is your relationship and you know how it's going to go.
Yeah, I think you take everything from family and friends like a little grain of salt. They're not, like you said, in it. And also, like, if this is your person, advocate for them. Like, set the boundary. Hey, thank you. You know, you've told me I'm going to do what I want with my life. I'll see how this plays out. You know, I don't need to hear anything again, but I appreciate it. Thank you. Draw the boundary. You know, you look at the ages in 21 and 20, you're so young. And like, I was thinking, I was like, well, when I was in fifth grade, I wanted to be a vet. And then when I was in eighth grade, I wanted to be a professional horse trainer. And then when I was in high school, I had no idea. When I was in college and 21, I thought I was going to go to PA school. Then I worked at Lululemon and I had never even heard of OT until a sorority sister came in and said, you should check out OT school. So I applied and then I was a flight attendant and then I became an OT and now I'm a podcaster. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow.
I was thinking, about to ask you that. Did you?
No, I literally the other day I was like, I think I'm going to get my real estate license. So next year when I have a little more time and, you know, things are slowing down and I can do it, I'm going to get my real estate license. Do whatever you want. I also think our generation, we're kind of there. College was really slammed down our throats. But if you look at the need, especially in the States, there is such a need for trades work, electrician, plumbers, welders, that you will make more money than a lot of other jobs. Like I know electricians that are making more than lawyers.
Exactly.
Like there's no shame doing a more trades job and not going to college at all. So honestly, him not being able to get financing might be the best blessing for him. He gets a semester to work, explore other options, do research about what he's really passionate about, and not waste money. Because while he might graduate in the spring, it might be with a degree that he wants nothing to do with.
He might have a total redirection.
And then trying to get financial aid after you already have one degree gets even tougher. So I think this is the biggest blessing in disguise for him. Take the time, work, maybe, you know, do some weekend road trips, bopping around, living life, and just figure it out. There's no rush. 21, 20, you got 60, 70 more years in front of you.
I couldn't have answered this one better.
Yeah, I think we all crushed it.
You did.
We all just crushed.
You just got my mental thoughts. That's what it was.
Yeah, some ESP psychic happening.
That's what it was. This was all my message being delivered to you by that mouth. Just.
Okay, moving along.
Okay. I'm digging this show. You guys are brilliant. I'm loving this.
Yeah, Lucy's crushing it.
She's killing it.
I'm nervous. There's a lot to live up to.
Grandma Margaret, she was great too.
Oh, she was lovely. I loved that episode. I felt like I was talking to my grandma. It was really cute.
Okay, we ready?
Yeah.
Number?
3.
Yeah, I lost count over here. Hi, I'm a 20-year-old woman and wanted advice regarding homesickness. I recently moved away from home for the first time to attend school on the other side of the country. It has been amazing to spend time following my dreams and pursuing my education, but pretty lonely. It's been about a month since I have been on my own, and for the first time, I'm back for a weekend visit. It had been the thing getting me through my course load this past week, haha. The flying is worth it. And I've been here with my family, and it's everything I've been missing these past few weeks. But I get emotional thinking already about how I have to go back by myself at the end of the weekend. My family was so excited for me to come back, dogs included, and I feel this terrible sense of dread and guilt that I have to leave again. In my new area, I am enjoying myself, but it can be lonely. These past few weeks, I would get slumped and not be able to do anything for a day or two. So I'm just missing home and being able to see my family in person. I didn't realize how much of a blessing it was just to stand in front of someone you love. I would like advice on how to take these feelings and keep going. I have that little kid urge to just stay home and hang out with my favorite people on earth, but I've worked too hard and they've sacrificed too much for me to do that. Ideal outcome, to be able to process and control my homesickness so I'll be able to enjoy my time both at home and away from school.
You're away from home.
Yeah, you're away from living home. This right now.
I know. I mean, homesickness is so real. I mean, some days all you want is a hug from your dad or your mom or anybody, a loved one. And especially entering college, I mean, that's your first time on your own. And it gets still, you know, one too many dining hall meals. And
she cried when we were leaving.
Oh, I cried when my parents left.
Everyone cried.
Oh, yeah. And then your parents are crying. And then the dog thing is so real. Your pet's watching you leave, which is incredibly hard. I hate advice like this, but it's something that just takes time and an adjustment. I mean, there are still days when I miss my parents, but not nearly what it used to be when I first moved out of the house. And it just takes time and remembering that you're always going to see them again and you're going to see them soon. But this is your time to, you know, live on your own and make your own memories that you can then come back and tell your family.
Yeah. Thinking back to freshman year, how long did it take you to really feel settled and like you weren't homesick?
I mean, my freshman year was COVID. We all were wearing masks. You couldn't anybody. You had to keep your doors shut. There was four people in a room allowed.
And you were
masks.
At school.
And I was at school. I didn't go home. I mean, kids left and right were going home. And it took me a long time to get settled. I mean, I had a great support system. But for a while, I mean, all you wanted was to be at home. I would say it takes probably a couple months, if not a semester or two.
I was going to say it took me probably 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I drove home every single weekend.
Mm-hmm. Until she finally found her own life there and her own, you know, a whole new, you know, friendship, you know, circle.
Yeah.
And where she wanted to hang out and really wanted to be down there, she was running back home to find that security. And you was extremely difficult during the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is why you go to school, so you can build all these new friendships.
Yeah.
So I really feel for her.
It's just about honestly putting yourself out there. A sense of connection and friends and things to do can make or break a place for you. And getting home will be hard. I mean, even now at 29, I live really far from most of my family. My mom cries every single time I leave. Every
Mine
single time.
Too.
I love when you're here. Why do you have to leave? And I'm like, I have to go. I love you. You can also come visit me. I'll be back in 3 weeks, you know? And a lot of times she cries, I cry. It's emotionally draining.
Go ahead.
When I get home to LA and I get back in my routine and I see my people, I do my things, it does make it easier.
Yeah, but you got two homes. You got dad at home here and you got mom over there.
But if I didn't have you here, I would still have my friends.
You wouldn't
have
a curfew.
Yeah. But I think it's really, you know, recognizing it's normal. Mm-hmm. It is going to get better and just put yourself out there.
Study groups. You know, when you go to school, I always know that study groups also, if you get the right group, you guys become truly your own little family, friends and family and support. But it's finding the right group, the right people to be with to study. So I would really look, if you're right, this is your first time into the game, definitely look to find the right people to be in a study group for different classes.
Yeah. And even, you know, study groups or volunteering, getting mm-hmm. a job. You like animals, go hang out at the animal shelter and volunteer. You'll meet people. Maybe join a club at your school, like more fun stuff. Mm-hmm. There's so many options.
You'll find it.
Mm-hmm. You gotta be willing to take the chance and not self-sabotage, because my biggest thing is I had a boyfriend that lived kind of in my hometown, like mm-hmm. another mm-hmm. hour away, but my hometown was on the way. So every single weekend I would drive home or I would go home, and I really kind of shot myself in the foot because I didn't really fully invest mm-hmm. in the college experience my freshman year.
I know.
And a lot of people then, when I came back and I was like, oh, well, I don't have a boyfriend anymore, they had already made their friend groups. Mm-hmm. They were already so established. So I had to work that much harder to create good, solid friend groups. So give it a shot and just like fully invest in the experience and trying to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And I would also suggest if you're really not having troubles finding friends and finding stuff, go look up salsa dancing class, something like that, and just get out of your way, do something that's different, that'll be fun, and you will meet people doing that. It's a great place to meet people, mm-hmm. and it's fun, and you take it with you your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, good things to consider.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And anyone, if you have any tips for homesickness, I know FaceTiming is one that mm-hmm. constantly comes up. Schedule, mm-hmm. you know, FaceTimes or little wine nights or charcuterie board nights with your family. You make yours, they make theirs. That is a good way. But if anyone else has any other tips, put them in the comments.
Meet people, meet friends. Going to a new town. Mm-hmm. You got to get out there and find something. And whatever a good healthy way, and salsa is a great healthy way of doing it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the section of feeling guilty about leaving, know how much your family wants you to do this phase of your life and wants you to be happy and experience it. Like,
yeah,
I love the phrase, your parents are growing up too, because they're going to miss you just as much as you're going to miss them, but they want what's best for you, and yeah. they wouldn't let you go if that wasn't the option.
That's a really good reminder.
Yeah, we got you a car and keys and gas. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Go.
Okay, moving along.
Then you get the phone call. Dad, I'm broken down. I'm on my way back there. Can you send a tow truck 1,000 miles to get me?
Okay, it was just Chicago to Minneapolis. Was at 16. I was in high school when that happened.
That's so scary.
That was a trailer too, picking up a car. coming to get you.
I was an adventurous one. I was out there.
All right, let's roll. Let's pick the next one off.
What number?
I have no idea. 5.
I think 4.
4.
Yeah. Hi, Jerry. I adore your podcast and THT. I would love if you could share some of your wisdom on friendships. I, female 19, have been having a hard time maintaining friendships for a while. In freshman year of high school, I switched schools and drifted apart from all but 2 of my best friends in my former school. In my second high school, I made a group of friends who became my very best friends for the remaining 3 years. We would do everything together, and there's just many good and bad memories I share with them. Fast forward to last year, I started college abroad and drifted apart from those friends as well. Coming back in the summer, I've been feeling really lonely and not having a good time at all. I see that most people enjoy being back home, but the only thing I enjoy about being back home is seeing my family, as I don't have friends here anymore. I've been doing a lot of introspection and have realized that I make friends pretty easily. I'm extroverted and put myself out there, and yet I have a hard time maintaining the friendships. My friendships in high school all had a certain toxic nature, so most of the time I feel like it's for the best that we drifted apart, but many of the wounds have healed, so sometimes I find myself wondering, where did I go wrong? My former 2 groups of friends remain good friends, so I feel like I'm the problem and somehow shut out friendships by either giving my everything or nothing. I'd like to know your thoughts, and I guess my main question is, how do you maintain friendships and choose which ones are worth maintaining?
It's interesting that you say this, because I'm watching different people in my life having issues with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I do know about a friendship is it's support. It's enjoyment. It's not you teaching them what's right or wrong. And a lot of people look at friendships as, they have to control their friend to tell them what to do and how to behave and how to this and how to that. And, or it's all about what I'm doing. It's not really sharing what they're up to and just enjoying the information. So friendships are really, go back and just self-reflect for a moment and look at the friendships that you have and how you talk to one another. And what makes your friendship important to you and how to involve yourselves that you can interact, but not to be their surrogate parent. Learn the boundaries and where you guys find your groove as a friend on experience in life. And look at whatever you're doing daily as an experience for both of you in life that you get to enjoy it, but you're not really critiquing one another. Because I see so much of that. I have a woman in my life that her, you know, one of her friends felt that she was, I don't know where she got this, that she was, you know, the god and matron to discipline her, to tell her where she's wrong and right in her thought process. Mm-hmm. And that's not what friendship is about.
Yeah.
Friendship is about enjoying and sharing. And yeah, you guys can have outlooks for one another, but certainly not to consistently criticize and abuse your friend.
Yeah.
So find that border and see what it is. It's not toxic. You know, the fact that you mentioned there was a toxicity, I would go and look, reflect on that toxicity, what was going on and where it came from and how to make your friendships a little different. So they're embellishing and there's growth from it and you guys are enjoying each other.
Yeah, I will say about that, I'm going to be honest, I think especially as a woman and someone who was, you know, a girl in high school and mean girls and all this stuff, mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone really has instant, healthy, amazing friendships in high school. I think you're all kind of trying to find out how to be a good friend. What are boundaries? Who am I? Mm-hmm. And I think those friendships are inherently a little more immature and a learning curve. So mm-hmm. I, you know, the fact you recognize, yeah, maybe it wasn't the best. It was a little toxic. That's great. Honestly, that's amazing because mm-hmm. you are having that self-awareness, that insight, and you're taking those as learning experiences. And now you can go forward and have more in-depth, genuine, mm-hmm. deep, like good friendships. And I know you mentioned like, I'm only friends with two people. And I think a lot of people get stuck on the quantity of friends they yes. have.
Rather than the quality.
Versus the quality. And mm-hmm. like, I have a bunch of friends, but my like really strong relationships where I talk to them daily.
The core.
They're two mm-hmm. people. Lauren, Alejandra, you guys know them.
Core.
Yeah. And I, you know, overall, yeah, I have 10 friends, but you don't have to get so like, into the quantity.
Exactly.
I think that's, yeah.
Quality. Yeah. I think there's a thing they even said, how many true friends people really have in their life.
You mm-hmm. can only maintain a certain number of intense you know, relationships. Yeah. There's studies on it.
Exactly.
You know, it is amazing to watch the people that can really mm-hmm. put all that, because friendships take time. Exactly. They really do. And they're investments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For you, do you go home during your summers?
I do.
Like yeah. usually? Mm-hmm. So do you feel like it's hard where like most of your friends are at college where you go to school and then mm-hmm. you go back and you're like, I'm bored.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about it. It's big. They always talk about the first summer you go back is so fun because you have all the friends from high school. You've kind of maintained it throughout the year. And then the second year you get more comfortable in college, but you're spending so much time on those relationships mm-hmm. that you kind of weren't focusing as much at home. And then when you come back, anyway, I'm down to probably three friends from my hometown that I would classify as like some of my best friends. And I've learned that that's okay. A good friend of mine told me this year that friendships aren't supposed to last forever, the majority of them. And that's not a bad thing. I love that she wrote in that she still looks back and has good memories with all of them, because you can still acknowledge it was a great friendship. It was a great time. It's just not what it once was.
I got a question.
Ready?
So let's imagine, I mean, I have friends from growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a broad basis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk to those people. Are they not my friend? Let me tell you, if push comes to shove and I need something or they need something, they yeah. called me. You dropped, even though you may not have talked in 10 years, they're still, if they're your friend, they're still your friend. We just don't have that active
exactly.
communication level. So
yeah.
Are they true friends? Let me tell you something. I have guys that I grew up with. They are my true friend. If they need mm-hmm. me for anything, I will drop whatever I'm doing and I will get in a car, get on a plane and go do. I'm there for them. Mm-hmm. Even though we don't talk once a year, Jay Freeman, I haven't talked to Jay in probably 15 years. Mm-hmm. And if Jay's watching this, which I doubt, but if he was, he could call me in a heartbeat and I would be there. Steve, these guys know who they are.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you all have these people. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're part of you have to entertain each other for your daily lives. Everyone kind of goes on their own life. We go our direction. But if something special happens or comes up and we want to have an event, trust me, I'm going to think about them to be at that event to say, there's something going on. We haven't really shared events. Let's do something together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure you can really relate to moving away from a hometown mm-hmm. to like go to school. I was back in Minnesota recently and a lot of my high school friends, like we're worlds apart. Mm-hmm. We don't text each other regularly. We might talk maybe once, maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. And I was home this past, week. And my friend Allie from high school noticed I was home and she was like, wait, you're here? Oh my God, let's grab lunch. Let's mm-hmm. do something. And there are those friendships that it doesn't matter how long it's been. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. see them and you pick right back where you were.
John Kohler. Mm-hmm. Look what happened.
Yeah.
It's just those relationships exist too. So mm-hmm. you're at a stage where my friendships that I have now that I feel are the most like strong, mm-hmm. solid friendships, I met them my sophomore and junior year of college.
Exactly.
You're just getting to that place of like, these are going to be the people that you really start putting in your core friend group. Mm-hmm. It's now. So you don't have to feel bad about those relationships not being what they were. That was high school. Mm-hmm. You're growing.
Yeah. And I don't think you have anything to worry about. I mean, at this phase, you're supposed to be figuring out who your true friends are. And if you lose some or if you become having relationships like the ones we described, that's perfectly fine. I think it all comes with time. When it comes to friendships, it's just like be a friend would like to have. And that doesn't mean necessarily being a best friend, but being like what you said, like being there when they need you and vice versa.
I know that we have a date. My siblings and I have a date for December. I think it's like the 15th. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be in San Diego with a woman that grew up across the street from us. Mm-hmm. We all grew up as children. We're going to have our decorate the Christmas tree.
I love that.
It was all planned out a year ago. We said, we are doing this.
We
never talk, very seldom mm-hmm. do we touch base, but we do know that we are going to be around that week. We're going to be in San Diego and we're going to be with Carla and her husband and we're going to do our, you can come too.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Because we're going to have hot fudge.
I will just say this person, like it doesn't mention even reaching out to those friends from high school. Just like mm-hmm. I've been feeling lonely and not having a good time being back at all. Honestly, a great way to meet new people too in your hometown during the summer, go get a job. Go volunteer, mm-hmm. Bumble BFF. Like you don't have to be bored and lonely. There's maybe other people that are back mm-hmm. home that you've never met that are bored and lonely. Mm-hmm. Like you're an extrovert. Keep putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. It'll come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, moving along. Last but not least.
Number 5.
Hi, Morgan, Jerry, and Lucy. I love your show and need some outside advice on something that I've been stressing out for a hot minute now. I, 21 female, am graduating in the spring of 2021 with my bachelor's degree. Congratulations, you have already solved this problem, I'm sure. But for those out there that might need it, here we go. And since I currently do not plan to go back to school, I am going to walk in the ceremony. I only want 4 people there, my parents, brother, and boyfriend. I know that my aunts and uncles, and especially my grandparents, are expecting to come to my graduation. And while I am so thankful that I have people who want to celebrate this with me, I personally don't want the stress of a lot of people there. I go to school 4 hours away from my immediate family and 5 to 7 hours away from my extended family. So it wouldn't be just them coming for the day of the graduation. It's going to be a whole weekend ordeal. I originally thought that I was only going to have 4 graduation tickets, and I felt like that was my out. I could just tell my extended family that I only had 4 tickets and that they were already spoken for. But after I got moved home and settled, we could have a big family dinner to celebrate. Well, I recently found out that there are no graduation tickets. The seating is first come, first serve. So anyone who wants to come can come. When I heard this, my heart dropped because my perfect out was taken away. When I tried to talk to my friend about this, she just said, "Stress is just part of graduation day. Is there any way I can explain to my extended family that I don't want a bunch of family at my graduation? Or do I need to just suck it up and just have a stressful weekend?" Ideal outcome, to find a way to only have the four people I want there to be the only people there, and then have a big family dinner with the extended family after the fact.
Well, I got a question.
Yeah.
Who brings the stress, them or her?
I think she's self-inflicting this pain right now.
Mm-hmm. So the answer really is don't invite the stress, meaning don't accept the stress. Mm-hmm. If they want to come, they're big people, let them show up. Mm-hmm. Here's where it is. Here's the time. This is where I'm going to be, Friday, Thursday night, Friday, and I'm going to be at this party with these group of people. Friday, I'm going to be this. So I just want everyone to realize I can't entertain everybody when they come up here. Mm-hmm. If that's really what it's about, then I'm going to come home and we'll have a great evening at home. If you're coming up because you really want to just be proud to watch me walk and hear my name, I welcome that. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And you can watch me throw my hat. But this is not something that I can really invest that we're going to be this weekend that it's us. Our weekend really is going to be post the graduation at home.
Yeah.
And if you identify that, then you automatically get rid of the fact that you have to be the hostess. That's where your stress is right now. You're feeling they're coming to see me. I have to be the entertainment. That you have to discharge. And once you discharge that, they're on their own to come. They can take the drive up. They can get a hotel room. They can go have their own evening at the bar. They can have a lovely dinner. And if you feel you want to be there, great. And if you can't be there, you're not going to be there. And they'll see you walking the next day. I just went to a graduation a month ago. And the girl might have been stressed about everyone coming up, but the reality is she had to worry about moving out right after the graduation. She had to be out of her apartment.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround.
And so, me and Aime drove up. Had a great time driving up there. We got there before this girl's mother and siblings and everyone definitely showed up. And we just did a casual, we didn't even see her before. She didn't have to worry about anybody, but we were all there. She did the walk. After that, we just said, we're going to be at a restaurant. You want to show up to celebrate? Great. And mm-hmm. then, because the plan was that she was going to load her stuff in this motorhome and then they were going to take off and go out of town. It worked out great. She did her thing for the 3 days before the graduation. Up to the graduation, she shoved in this motorhome of all her crap to leave and showed up at the restaurant. We had a lovely dinner. We all got, They got into their thing. I got in my car and everyone just went their merry way. It was pretty easy.
No pressure.
None. Zero.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, if you just say it up front, hey, here's my graduation. We're going to do a dinner afterwards, but I have plans the next day and I'm unavailable. I know it's a big drive for you mm-hmm. guys. And typically we might do something, but I can't. So no pressure. Honestly, I would prefer to do a big celebration after the fact.
Right.
It's a lot of driving to just see me walk across. I can put my gown on at home and we can take the same pictures.
But wait a minute.
It'll be good.
But if you want to come and watch me do it and entertain yourselves, that's great.
Yeah. And I will say there is a blip in the additional info mm-hmm. where she does say they also need to be constantly entertained. They can't just watch me graduate. Mm-hmm. So I would feel exhausted by that too. Like it's hard hosting. And when you just want to like enjoy that come down of like, I did it. I don't want to entertain. I want to just like have my people that I can be chill with. That's it. So honestly, if you are so set on not having them come, don't even give them the option. Push the secondary plan first. Mm-hmm. And then if you get pushback or they're sad or guilt trip you, whatever, then you could say, well, you're welcome to come. This is when it is. However, I'm unavailable the next day. I cannot entertain.
Or even before. I am not part of the entertainment.
Yeah. You are welcome to come.
You can bring your whole posse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to be the ones entertaining each other. It is not me.
But
you're only going to see me walk. You're not going to see me other than that.
But it's also first come, first serve. So you have to make sure you're there because I don't want to have you drive all this way for nothing.
You're on your own.
Yeah. But you warn people. Warn people versus they're 15 minutes late and then don't have a seat.
Tell them the rule. Tell them what it is. Yeah. And don't, the only thing you're going to see of me is me and my little hood walking down and then I'm gone. You'll see me at home 3 days later.
Yeah, exactly.
And you make it that plain and then no one has the expectation to see you and you don't have that worry because you've disarmed it.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're a very chill dad, I would say, a very chill person.
Some people are a little
I'd say uppity. There's some family members who like definitely need or come with the expectation of spending the weekend with you for your graduation.
I just don't accept it. The boundary is you identify the boundary. This is a boundary. I am not available. Look, my brother was great at this. Mm-hmm. He taught me well. He said, if you identify what it is, everyone gets it. And he was right. You identify it. There's no surprise to it. Don't expect it. You're not going to get it.
Yeah.
And if you think you're going to get it, you're wrong. So he's very matter of fact. It's a binary world with this guy. And that's the way you have to be. You have to be very, but there's no gray. It's black or white.
Yeah.
But not everyone can set those boundaries very easily. It takes some practice. You're graduating next year. Is this something like you've thought about?
Honestly, I haven't thought about it yet because the thought of graduating and entering the real world is a little bit scary, but it's going to be okay. I'll write in for some advice soon about it. But think about it.
And then you can come here and co-host with it and read your own write-in.
I'll take over the show. No, there I'm just you go. I'm completely kidding. But
I'll take a day off.
But at its base, what a good problem to have, though. Just that you have so many people that love you and care about you. And she acknowledges that point 100%. But it's just a great problem to have that so many people want to come and want to support you. But next year, I'm definitely going to take your advice and probably set that boundary if people do want to come. Because
It's perfect. And no one's pissed. They all get it.
Mm-hmm. Not selfishly. It's about yourself. It's not about them.
That is very true. Honestly, for mine, I just invited everyone. Like, and I have drama with like my dad and like my biological dad. So like, I was like, fuck it. I just invited everyone.
No drama with me.
It's not from you, but there's, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. We'll put it that way. But I was just like, I'm going to invite everyone, give everyone the opportunity. And I literally only did then dinner after with like my dad, my brothers, and everyone else left. But they still got the opportunity because for them, they have watched me grow up. They have helped. My bio dad helped me with rent throughout college, which was amazing. And I wouldn't have been able to live where I did without that help. Mm-hmm. So it did take a team effort to get me to that point. So it was a team celebration. Mm-hmm. And it's, like you said, a good problem to have. Totally respect you and what you want to do. But, you know, if you do say, I can't entertain, you're welcome to come. It could be the best of both worlds.
I like that.
For sure. That's all we got for back to school.
Well, good luck and have a great year.
Back to school. Back to school.
And for the ones of you that are not going back to school, you just wanted to hear us babble while you do your house cleaning and whatever else goes on in your life.
I enjoy the vacuuming because we have to clean here right now. I saw a flea on Holly, you guys. It's not looking good.
So, we're not going to call the show and I'm going to go take Holly and bathe her. So thanks for joining us and we'll see you next week. And don't forget, press the subscribe button.
And head over
to Patreon.
Patreon.
And don't forget, we want you to call in and be a part of our
group sessions.
And we all want to wish
Lucy
a wonderful trip back home and a wonderful year at the school near the Brickyard as they will be preparing themselves for the little
Indy,
little 500
something. I don't know. Okay, bye
everybody.